in a recent conversation with some brothers, we were talking about different things that we face in life and how we respond to them. And the conclusion was reached at the end. It all depends on the condition of our heart. And as was announced, we are on the threshold of revival meetings. It's planned to start tomorrow night. And the message this morning, the title is, as we heard already, is Preparing Our Hearts for Revival. And we think of our heart, the choices that we make, decisions that we make throughout the day. What are they? They're a result of what is within our heart. The way I respond in everyday circumstances informs others of what is within. The words that I use clearly indicate if my heart is pure or if my heart is corrupt. A challenge for myself, you're allowed to listen. The amount of patience I exhibit in a stressful situation indicates the spiritual temperature that is within my heart. Everybody's sitting here this morning and it looks like everybody's calm. Everybody got good hearts. That's great. But you got in the workforce, in the work field, and stressful situations come up. How do we respond? A lot of business people here this morning. Integrity in business dealings reveal much about an individual's heart. And Jesus kind of sums it up in Matthew 12:34. He said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Clear concept. What you put in is what's going to come out. The primary ingredient of our heart is revealed when we open our mouth. When we talk, and you meet someone you don't know, and I meet a lot of people throughout the week, different people, and you can tell, it doesn't take long at all. Give me 5 minutes, and I can almost read in, to a certain extent, where these people are at. What's important to them? But when we open our mouth, what comes out is what is within. Medically speaking, switch to medical side just for a brief moment. When a person has a, quote, heart condition, it's not good news. And a few of the common types of heart problems are high blood pressure. We hear that a good bit. Condition when the force of blood is against the artery walls is too high. I'm not a medical doctor. This is something I found. Cardiac arrest. Sudden, unexpected loss of heart function, breathing, and consciousness. And I told my family I would love to stop at a butcher shop and get a heart and bring it up here, but I'm afraid some would suffer from cardiac arrest, so I decided to refrain from that. I was hunting last night, and I didn't pray it, but I said, "Lord, if you want me to take a heart to the pulpit this morning," I do not have a heart with me this morning. I mean, underneath here. I got one, yes, praise the Lord, but I don't have another one. Congestive heart failure, a chronic condition which your heart doesn't pump blood as well as it should. We hear a lot about strokes, damage to the brain, what interruption when blood is not properly, when the blood supply is not properly there. And another very common one is heart attack. And that when a blood clot blocks the flow of blood to the heart. So the heart is there beating and it pumping the blood. And we need that in order to function. And I think we all understand that our heart is a very important organ. And our heart needs to function properly in order for us to maintain a healthy lifestyle. All heart problems, when we have a heart problem, they require immediate attention. And many people get their heart checked out periodically to make sure that everything is in proper working order. And a healthy heart is a blessing. Maybe sometimes we take it for granted. But physically, on the physical end of things, we do everything possible to maintain a healthy heart. We don't go about doing stuff to damage our heart. We do our best to take care of our heart. What about the spiritual condition of our heart? Okay, we take care of the physical heart, Are we as concerned about our spiritual temperature? The doctor, when we go, he can check out our heart, and they have a lot of knowledge. They can prescribe medication if it's needed to make sure everything's properly working. I've heard already of open heart surgery. That can be done to repair a damage to the heart. So obviously the doctor knows all about our heart, inside out, but he's limited to the physical side. The doctor is limited to the physical side. He can do nothing, medically speaking, to increase the spiritual temperatures of our heart. We can go to the doctor, he can do heart surgery and make some corrections if needed, but he can't help us in the spiritual end of things. Pete Lewis said this, the only item, he called it, the only item on earth that is not already God's is the human heart. We talk about the cattle on a thousand hills, the verse says, but it's all God's, but the only item is not already his, the human heart. And not until our heart is unreservedly surrendered to him will our talents, efforts, and material possessions be acceptable gifts to him. You know, in preparing our hearts for revival, I think it starts right there. Unreserved surrender. Here I am, Lord, and I give you my all. According to that quote from Pete Lewis, we as humans are in control of our hearts. Now, that could be to a certain extent, but somewhere in life, early on in life, the Christian surrenders his heart to the Lord and then allows the Lord to be in control. But the fact that we can't forget is the spiritual condition of the heart will determine the eternal destiny of the soul. Where are we at? Steve was very open. He said he stands in need of revival, and I think if we had to raise a hand, more would as well. But are we ready for revival? Are our hearts prepared? As humans get older, I'm not going to list any age, but occasional visit to the doctor to get our hearts checked is required. And I think it's safe to say that our yearly revival meetings is a time that we get to check out our hearts on the spiritual side. Are things flowing like they should be? Is there need for some adjustments? Does God care? The word heart is found 767 times in the Bible. And I think that's an indication to us that God is concerned about the spiritual condition of our hearts. Jesus speaks about the spiritual condition of our heart in the parable of the sower in Luke 8. And we're going to get there shortly, but if you want, you can turn there a while. We're going to take a text from Luke 8 this morning. And Jesus likens the condition of the soil to the condition of the human heart. So we have the parable of the sower, we have seeds, we have soil. And last Sunday we had a good message. We need to die in order to bloom. Remember, illustrated with that, the lily bulbs and the beautiful vase of lilies? Seeds that are planted need to die before they can bring forth fruit. And I had to think, you know, many times, maybe it's prior to Bible school or before we leave to go hand out tracts, we get together and we pray and we ask, Lord, you know, as we go sow some seeds, Lord, help them to fall on soil that's going to bring forth and blossom and bloom and produce fruit. And this week, the seed of God, the word of God is going to be sown. It's going to fall in the hearts that are here. Are we going to take root and allow that to grow? How can we prepare our hearts for revival? In Matthew 12, the verse that I read earlier, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Just think about this a little bit. Jesus doesn't say that the actual heart is the problem. Remember, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I, you know, had to think, maybe that's good news. Everyone here this morning, we have a heart. But the heart in itself is not the problem that some seeds do not produce fruit. another reason that it's a good news that the heart, not the problem, is that we as humans, we cannot change the shape, nor the size, nor the actual make of our hearts. Yes, a doctor can perform some surgeries, but that's usually not the reason he does that. We can't change our heart. The actual heart I'm talking about here. You know, sometimes when somebody does an act of kindness, we say, well, that man or that lady, they have a big heart, and referring to kindness, a kind deed that they have done. But we can't change our heart. A beating heart, as we are, each heart is this morning, it's producing life to our body as it pumps blood throughout. Without our hearts beating, there's death. And you could liken that to the engine in a car. If the battery's everything working properly, you start the car and it sits there and purrs. There's power there and ready to go. But if the engine is blown, as men use the term sometimes when it major problems, the car is dead and will go nowhere. It's the same way with the heart. So as long as it's beating, where there's life. But Jesus said, was not saying the heart itself is a problem. Okay, we got that. We can't change our heart. What Jesus is saying is what we allow in our heart is what will determine the fruit that will be produced. So we're here this morning with hearts, and we're going to look at four different conditions here shortly. But I guess the question of the morning is, what are we allowing in? Let's read Luke 8, and we'll start at verse 4 and read through verse 15. And when much people were gathered together, and there were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and when the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And Jesus said to them, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Verse 11, now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they, which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Words of Christ. The soil that Jesus was speaking about here was not the problem. Just like I mentioned that the heart's not the problem. But the issue that he pointed out was the foreign objects that are in the soil. Now the seed, as we see in verse 11, is the word of God. And then Jesus goes forth and describes four different heart conditions. Number one, the first one, there's going to be four. The first one is the almost Christian. Verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then come the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The almost Christian. Now here we have a hard heart, hardened by lies and deception. Now the almost Christian here hears the truth. Those by the wayside are they that hear. So that they have ears and they have heard. But the devil, which is the enemy, quickly brushes the word of God aside. and their heart, and it replaces that with lies. And lies, I had to think, are like concrete. When a concrete comes out of a concrete truck, it depends on how much water you add, it's runny. So the lies are like concrete. They flow in. Here they come. And if allowed, they will remain there and quickly become extremely hard, and the concrete will refuse that anything, any of the seeds, take root and grow. So here, what we have here is a hard heart, unable to receive truth because how hard it is. And also here, we also in this heart, we see pride and basically a barren soil. This heart will be similar to planting a row of corn between the yellow lines on 501. We could go out there when no cars are coming and plant a row there. What's going to happen? Along comes the first truck, the seed's blown aside, the cars come behind and crush it, and it's all gone. Is there any hope for, in here in verse 12, for the almost a Christian? Is it possible for this heart to prepare for revival? And the answer is absolutely. But how can this be done? It's going to take humility and faith. And when we combine them two, this heart can be softened. Hard concrete requires a jackhammer to remove. But when someone combines humility and faith in the Lord, a hard heart can be softened and become acceptable soil condition. A soft heart is a teachable heart, one that will treasure the truth and protect itself from Satan's tactics of doubt. But there is a fact for this heart. The only hope for this unsaved soul is complete surrender to Jesus Christ in true repentance. Jesus didn't say that this heart is lost. He did say that it's not accepting the truth. So as we prepare our hearts, if you are here this morning and your heart is hard, there's hope. It takes repentance. Let's move on. Number two, in verse 13, we have the convenient Christian. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, again, we have the hearing, they receive the word with joy. Now, notice this takes us a step further. They heard and they receive. Read on. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. Convenient Christian. Tries to appear committed when convenient. However, this heart is unstable and double-minded. And this is their motto. If it's convenient, I'll say I'm a Christian. If it's not convenient, I'll act like I'm not a Christian. So what do we have here? We have those who use Christianity only to further their self-interest. But in return, they are a self-centered people. But the verse says, when they hear, they receive it with joy. Their initial reaction is joy. Correct. There's a positive side there. But later on, along come, when their emotional foundation is tested, they quickly fall away. What we have here, we have complete faithlessness. No faith. No real conviction for sin. Yes, a little bit of soil. And actually, the roots must have been down just a tad. Well, no, it says they have no root. So they might have sprouted, but no root. A little bit of soil, but an abundance of hard surfaces. Not quite as hard as the first one, possibly, but here we have one that is still hard. What are all these hard surfaces? Indifference, which is lack of interest. Again, notice the soil itself is not rejecting the seed. It's the foreign objects that are within the soil that are refusing to allow the seed to take root. Hard surfaces, referring to sin. And you take that sin, and then along with that, it combined with a love for that sin, and also refusal to repent. Unwilling. You know, some people know, if you probably met people who know they're doing wrong, but they love that sin so much they refuse to repent. So the sin in this heart, quote, rocks in the soil, will quickly crowd out that good seed. And that good seed that was planted is a desire to do good. But quickly the good intentions fall by the wayside and they're soon forgotten, because this heart is full of other things. The convenient Christian might even be one who says the right words. Possibly, this Christian could even attend services, but their hearts are far from God. They are saying the correct words and showing up in church for a reason. Correct. For the reason of impressing or pleasing others. Ever been there? Oh, Dad said I should go. I guess I'll go just because he said I should go. Then after that, I can go on. So I was there, and the pastor saw me, and the deacon saw me, so they'll think I'm a good man. In church, in bodily form, but their mind is far from spiritual things. So let's get down to the soil on this person. What happens? A convenient Christian is a counterfeit. Counterfeit, completely fake. No true belief in conviction. How can this heart prepare for a revival? Remember we say, some people say that, oh, I'm just too far gone. That's not the truth. That's a lie from the devil. As long as there's a heartbeat, there's hope. And I think I'm going to pause for a second and ask the question, what is revival? Maybe this is a good time to ask this question. I was kind of surprised by what I found. Every year we hear we're having revival meetings. This was announced a long time ago. And I think a speaker's lined up for next year already, if I'm not mistaken, and possibly the following, or is being worked on. Revival, what's the definition? There's six. Number one, this first one I'll admit up front, a little vague. An improvement, or it's in vague but true, an improvement in the condition or strength of something. I almost didn't put that down, but like, okay. But we can along with that definition, tie in improvement of something we could put in there is our love for the Lord and our spiritual life. And this is not saying that everyone comes that's coming to revival meetings is look, it needs improvement. We need to come to be refreshed as well. Number two, revival refers to spiritual awakening from a state of dormancy or inactivity in the life of a believer. We say sometimes that we become complacent and life becomes mundane. We do things just life. But maybe we need to have a spiritual awakening. Are we dormant? Is there inactivity? You know, we talk about growing. The life of a Christian begins as a babe in Christ and continues to grow. So this is 2019, revival meetings almost. What about 2018? Have we grown? Did we become inactive in some things? And I hope and trust we did not. Definition number three, revival includes the resurfacing of a love for God, an appreciation of God's holiness, a passion for His Word and His church, a convicting awareness of personal and corporate sin, a spirit of humility, a desire for repentance and growth in righteousness. We're not charismatic here in Myerstown, but when I saw that, I can say, amen. This is what we need. And even if we're on fire for the Lord, and even if we have a heart condition like we're going to get to in verse 15, there are some times that even we need to be revived and to be... How many know what I mean when you say you got chills going down your back when you talk about things the Lord has done for you? Anybody? Yeah, amen. Happened like twice this week. Talking to a man, was that last week? And he said, boy, that gives me chills up my spine. I'll talk about things of the Lord. A desire for repentance and growth in righteousness. Moving on. Number four. I need to get faster here. Number four, revival refreshes and sometimes deepens a believer's faith, opening his eyes to the truth in a new way. Number five, it generally involves the implication of a fresh start with a clean slate, marking a new beginning of a life of obedience to God. Where are we at in our lives? Number six, revival breaks the charm and power of the world, which blinds the eyes of men and generates both the will and power to live in the world, but not of the world. And I wouldn't be surprised if some messages this week are going to kind of tie in with that there. But when we think about the definition of the word revival, almost should take our meetings to a new level. But back to the question, how can this kind of heart prepare for revival meetings? Obviously, for revival, obviously change is needed. And I see here repentance, which applies to all of them. But here we need a 180-degree turn. Step number two, along with repentance, the old habits need to go. Self-life needs to go. Fleshly desires need to be removed, and that heart needs to be filled with Jesus Christ. A few facts on this kind of person. True committed Christians will not give up nor fall away in times of temptation. True committed Christians will not fall away in times of temptation. And Jesus pronounced a blessing on those who have the strength to endure to the end. That must be one of my favorite verses. He that endures to the end shall be saved. And I trust we have that within us. We can clench our fists and say, I will endure to the end. So what do we have here? Out with lukewarm convenience and in with hot commitment. Are we on fire for the Lord? Verse 14, number 3, the immature Christian. And that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to repentance. Immature Christians, still immature in their comprehension of righteousness, allowing worry and money and pleasures to stun their growth of God's grace. According to that verse, this group knows the Lord. According to that verse, this group has been saved. But the only snorkel at the surface of their salvation. They're paddling around on the surface, and as they're doing that, they're floating around, they're looking down at the beauty of a deeper committed life to Christ, but they are unwilling to take the plunge and to dive deeper. They kind of just like that surface stuff. Preferring to be called Christians, enjoying the blessing of being associated with God's people, but hold the deeper spiritual life at arm's length. You know, what happens to them? We get to that just shortly. They heard the word, they go forth. Here we got two good things happening. And then the word choked is used. It fell among the thorns, okay? They heard, they go forth, choked. Well, oftentimes we hear the words almost choked when someone gets something stuck in their throat. But to choke is to strangle completely, literally to drown. Here again, physical death occurs when we allow ourselves to be choked with the pleasures of this life. Another choke that we need to be aware of is what will choke us is bitterness. If we are bitter towards someone and we allow that bitterness to take root, it's going to grow. And if not quickly pulled out and properly removed, it's going to choke out all areas of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth and bitterness cannot grow in the same garden or in the same heart. One, but not the other. There can't be both. Some things I've said before over the pulpit and some things are worth repeating. Here we go. What we feed will grow and what we starve will die. So what are we feeding? If we remove the Word of God from our daily diet, the cares of this world, of this life, are going to take over and choke out our desire for spiritual things. Spiritual growth does not happen by default. You can't say, well, this morning here it is, 11 o'clock, I'm going to grow spiritually today and just go on with life mundanely. No, no, no. It takes desire and it takes effort, and we got to put that forth. The end of this verse is sad, and bring no fruit to perfection. No fruit from this third heart here we're talking about. Mature faith perseveres through pain and discipline and also enjoys pleasures, but without worshiping them. You know, in the day of plenty that we're living in, I think we all understand that the pendulum quickly swings to the wrong side when we get too caught up in the here and now. So is pleasure wrong? No, it's not. But it becomes wrong when it's not properly balanced. And when it takes away our time with the Lord and begins to choke us. And we've stopped doing things that pleases our Heavenly Father. We need to evaluate our time, maybe realign our focus, and ask the Lord for direction in this area. So what is needed in the third heart here for revival? What I see is a small amount of soil again, not quality soil. It's not producing fruit, but it's growing things that smother good seed. This heart requires a deep plow to turning over completely that top surface and starting off with a new seed bed. And it's called, for lack of better words, it is called repentance. Pull out the weeds of riches. Pull out them weeds of pleasure. Place them on a pile and get rid of them. And fill the heart with the Word of God. Let's go on to the fourth one. The growing Christian, number 15, verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, and this is great, with which in an honest and good heart, having heard the Word, they keep it and they bring forth fruit with patience. Before we plant our gardens, we carefully prepare the soil for seed. Till it up, needs to be dry, proper cultivation, possibly some fertilizer if needed. Then we make a long straight row, if straight as we can, correct amount of seed, planted a correct distance apart, properly covered, and we wait. Then it comes up, we pull weeds, we hoe, we till, all kinds of work. Sometimes we plant, and we like with every seed comes up, and if there's a row there, and there are 10 in a row that come up, then there's 3 missing, we wonder why. And if you're early enough, you can replant. But our desire is to have every seed produce. So Jesus is comparing our hearts to a properly prepared garden. So let's take an inner look. Does Jesus see our heart as good ground? Carefully tilled and ready to produce fruit. Growing Christians are going to guard their hearts with the peace of God. Growing Christians are going to guard their heart from the fast-growing weeds of life and the trends this world offers. Keep that rooted. Keep that out. And occasional suffering, although not pleasant, actually softens the heart. And success is designed to humble the heart. So what we want this week, we want good hearts that are soft. When the heart is soft, seeds of truth tend to establish deep roots. And the group of people in verse 15, the Word of God rarely grows old. It only grows richer. This people, with wisdom, they discover new ways to become more like Christ. What do? They grow a crop of character, godly character. Combine that with a hearty harvest of souls. What we have here is a heart that is dedicated and committed. And then the growing Christians take the Word of God, meditate upon it, and they memorize it. We heard about that a few weeks ago. And then apply the Word of God directly to their lives. These Christians in verse 15 only stop growing when they stop breathing. So we're to grow, continually grow. But growth means change. Change takes grace. Grace comes from God, and God gives grace to the humble. James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 15 talks about good ground, talks about an honest heart, talks about those who hear the word, and then they're going to keep it, and they're going to bring forth fruit. And this is beautiful. Here we have loose soil, soft, plenty of depth for plant life, honest hearts willing to receive the word of God, and make it a driving force in their daily conduct. All four types heard, only one left it grow. We're going to hear it this week. Seeds are going to be sown. I don't think it's going to throw seeds at us, but the Word of God is seed. How is it going to land? This group accepts the Word of God and makes serious commitments and sets the goals for their lives and lives by the truth. There's 190-some hearts here this morning, and I hope they're all in this category, but where are we at? In conclusion, I repeat, what is in our heart is what's going to come out. Four kinds of people, but only one of the four responds in a way that produces acceptable fruit. You know, as we prepare our hearts for this week of meetings, maybe plan to attend with good, soft, honest hearts, allowing the seed that's going to be sown to take root and produce a fruit, as the verse says, with patience. God can do great things with the heart, as we see in verse 15, but the other hearts that we've seen, he can't do a whole lot with. So my desire is that you come praying with an open heart with these six desires for the week. Number one, the resurfacing of a love for God. This is the third definition of revival I had said earlier. It's 6 points in that one definition. Number one, the resurfacing of a love for God. Number two, an appreciation for God's holiness. Number three, a passion for his work, his word, and his church. Number four, a convicting awareness of personal and corporal sin. Number five, come with the spirit of humility. And number six, come with a desire for repentance, if needed, and for growth in righteousness. And when we do that, great things are going to happen in this coming week. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. We just thank you for the parable that you have given to us. The four different types of soil, the four different types of hearts. I pray, Lord, that we can be a group of growing Christians, willing to accept the truth, allow the seed to penetrate and to grow in our hearts. Lord, I pray, starting with myself, Lord, that we can be open throughout this week. Lord, if you show us areas and you say, Leon, you need to work here, you need to repent here, help us, Lord, each one of us to be willing to make change where you see needed. Bless Brother Terry as he comes. I pray, Lord, that our schedules could be flexible this week so that we could attend. Lord, may our desire be that we can just continue to grow in righteousness. Thank you for each heart here this morning. Bless each heart. Be with us throughout the day. Give us a good week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Song, please.